This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. So I'm going to get to this Don Lemon thing here in a second, and that'll be offensive. And then we're going to talk about what Donald Trump put on social media himself today that has Democrats so angry. Hakeem Jeffries was yelling and screaming and everything else. It was glorious. It was absolutely glorious. We're going to get to all that and so much more in the final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. But before I get to the Trump stuff, Don Lemon says a bunch of stupid things. That's why he got fired, and now he has a show no one listens to or watches. But he's usually out there saying something stupid because he's a stupid person. And on one of his recent rants, he was, of course, blaming white men for crime and all kinds of the other normal stuff that he does. Whatever, it doesn't offend me. I don't care. But he said this.
All of a sudden, my heritage is going to be over. That I won't. I want to live in a country where white kids go to white schools and white people marry each other. What is wrong with that? I want to grow up in the country that my great-grandfather grew up in. That country doesn't exist anymore, asshole.
So, I don't care who you fall in love with or marry. It's not my interest at all, and it's just not something I dwell on. It's not something I care about. It's not something. Skin color's just never been a big thing for me. I know it's a big thing for a lot of people, but it's never a big thing for me. But I also want to clarify that if you're black and you want to marry somebody who's black, that's fine. If you're black and want to marry somebody who's black and you would prefer to live in a black neighborhood around other black people, that's fine. Do that. You should, as a matter of fact. And the exact same thing applies if you're white. Exact same thing applies if you're Latino, if you're Indian, if you're Asian. But although I guess Indian and Asian is the same thing. You know what I mean? The same thing applies. However, when white people talk about it or even think about it, they're the only ones that are treated as if this is some terrible, racist, awful thing. It's what some people choose. It's just whatever you're into, or maybe culturally that's what you believe in, and that's totally fine. But for some reason, everybody but white people are totally okay with this and do this all the time. But if a white person says it or thinks it, he's treated as the second coming of Adolf Hitler. And that's the most ridiculous thing in the world. If you are a white man and you only want to marry a white woman, go find one. If you're a white woman and want to marry a white dude, go find one. And if you want to live in a neighborhood that is white, in a town that is white, then go find it and move there. That's part of being free. And that's part of living in a free country. Go marry who you want, live around who you want, and don't let any of these scumbags tell you, no matter your color, that you are bigoted or whatever for not doing it. You do what you want to do, period, now, and forever. And I really, really dislike that we've gotten to this place where white people are the ones who are never allowed to talk about that. They're never allowed to advertise it. They're never. What if you were to come out tomorrow and say, no, I prefer white women? How's that bad? I had a buddy. he would only date Asians. And it ended up, surprise, surprise, he married an Asian. That was his thing. And okay, that's his thing. Go for it. You love who you love and you go for it. All right. That's one. Two. Donald Trump put something on social media today. Now, before I actually play the audio, because the audio is good enough, I'll set it up. Before I play the audio, I've told you before about the time we had to take a boat to Thailand. I believe it was to Thailand. I might have been coming home, but I think it was to Thailand. We had to take a boat from Japan to Thailand. Now, this is not a small boat. It was a gigantic catamaran-type boat. And on this trip, we definitely shouldn't have taken it. I guarantee someone got in trouble. There was a terrible tropical storm when we were out in the middle of the ocean. And there were waves up by, you know, the deck where we were. 100-foot waves were going up and down. It is really bad. It's really dangerous at sea. So I don't get sick. I don't get air sick. I don't get boat sick. I don't get car sick. I didn't do anything. That's just something God gave me. I do not get sick under any circumstances. This was one of those circumstances where even most people like me were unbelievably sick. Guys were so sick, they had already clogged all the toilets with their sickness. They had filled and were sharing with each other the puke bags. I'm going to stop there because it's really, really gross. It was a disaster. A disaster to the point it's all over the floor. Guys are practically green. And it was me and I think five of us who we were just the ones who didn't get sick. So we found a table that was bolted down in the center of this thing and let everyone else run around puking their guts out. And it was a disaster in every way. People are yelling. It's a disaster. And we thought we might die. And at some point in time, we all just kind of started laughing. The five of us who were at this table, we were playing cards. I think we were playing poker or something like that. We were just trying to play cards, holding our cards on the table, trying to keep our minds off of all the vomit and disaster that's all around us. And we talked about why we were laughing. We all kind of came to this realization that, yes, this is horrible. It's one of the most disgusting experiences we've ever had in our lives. And by the way, we might die. I mean, this boat could break apart. I mean, it's a bad, bad situation. But some things are once in a lifetime. And you know they're once in a lifetime when you're in the middle of them. And if you can take a step back from maybe your personal feelings at the moment, it can put a smile on your face when you are going through something, even a bad something that is once in a lifetime. We all knew, the five of us knew, we were going to tell that story of sitting at that poker table for the rest of our lives. I'm the one who gets to tell it on the radio, but I have guys who are at that table with me listening. I guarantee they're laughing and they're going to text me any moment now. We knew we'll never forget this moment. Maybe you love Donald Trump. Maybe you hate him. Maybe you're hot and cold. Me personally, you are well aware of my feelings. I love a lot of things about him. I get angry at him from time to time, and I'm loud about that too. He makes me laugh. He makes me yell. He makes me stand up and cheer and applaud him and salute him. I run the gamut with him. It just depends on the day. We will never have another one like him. He puts a 30-second video up on social media. It's AI. In the video is Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer standing at a podium. Hakeem Jeffries has an obviously fake Mexican sombrero and Mexican mustache on his face. And as you will hear, the AI voice is Chuck Schumer. The president of the United States of America put this video on his social media today.
Look, guys, there's no way to sugarcoat it. Nobody likes Democrats anymore. We have no voters left because of all of our woke trans. Not even black people want to vote for us anymore. Even Latinos hate us. So we need new voters. And if we give all these illegal aliens free health care, we might be able to get them on our side so they can vote for us. They can't even speak English, so they won't realize we're just a bunch of woke pieces of you know, at least for a while, until they learn English and they realize they hate us too.
Jewish producer Chris made the very, very correct point. Xi Jinping looks at Donald Trump's social media. Vladimir Putin. Heads of state across the planet. They look at Donald Trump's social media. And if you're Vladimir Putin, what goes through your head when you log on to Twitter today and you see this?
Look, guys, there's no way to sugarcoat it. Nobody likes Democrats anymore. We have no voters left because of all of our woke trans. Not even black people want to vote for us anymore. Even Latinos hate us. So we need new voters. And if we give all these illegal aliens free health care, we might be able to get them on our side so they can vote for us. They can't even speak English, so they won't realize we're just a bunch of woke pieces of you know, at least for a while, until they learn English and they realize they hate us too.
I hope you take this moment and appreciate that Donald Trump is president, even if that makes you wince. And it kind of makes me wince, but it makes me laugh. There's never been one like him. And I don't think we're going to have another one. So enjoy it. Let's do some emails and talk about patsies. Before we do that, let's talk about gold. And I'm not talking about the solid gold that was that clip Donald Trump put on his social media account. I'm talking about the gold that needs to be part of your retirement. It needs to be part of your 401k. Your retirement, if it doesn't have precious metals in it, is unprotected. Meaning you could wake up to a bubble popped and you going back to work because your retirement's gone. That is something that happens to people. Don't be that person. Just take a simple step. Just make a phone call. Call Gold Co. Find out what they can do to protect you. Precious metals last. They have stood the test of time. Always have. Always will. Go to jessielikesgold.com or call 855-817-GOLD. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Tuesday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Okay, so before I get to these emails, I just really quickly, there's a headline here. Poland arrests Ukrainian suspect in the Nord Stream sabotage. The guy's name, they called him Volodymyr Z. Look, remember we had Clay Martin, our super spec ops Green Beret buddy, joined us on the show after that Nord Stream 2 pipeline was sabotaged. Remember, it was sabotaged deep under the water. And we're not talking about a little thin piece of PVC, plastic type pipe here. We're talking about serious damage deep under the water. And remember we asked Clay Martin, who could have done this? Was this a small rebel group? Was this a guy with a scuba kit and some dynamite and some flippers? And he pretty much laughed on the air and said there were a very select few countries on the planet who could pull off an operation like this. You're going to have to color me a little bit skeptical that Volodymyr Z was the one who strapped on his scuba equipment and some M80 firecrackers and swam down to the bottom and put a bunch of holes in Nord Stream 2. Come on. Come on. Are we still selling this fiction? Come on. I was born at night, but not last night. Oh, by the way, John Conrad, Merchant Marine Captain John Conrad, joins us like 10 minutes from now to talk about Navy stuff and putting out fires on ships. Let's do some emails. Dear hair follicles needed, please You know, that's not nice. I am pro-life, but in cases of rape or incest, or knowing the child will have a horrible medical condition, I'm willing to leave abortion as an option, this guy says. I think the idea of a mother giving birth to a child of someone who was assaulted her, or having no option if she knows the child will have a horrible medical condition, is terrible. I know how pro-life you are, and I just can't agree in every case. Will you explain to me why you think a woman should have a baby even under these circumstances? I love your show. I'm your ally. I just can't agree with you on this. I promise I don't drive a Subaru and hate listen. No, look, I'm totally fine if you disagree with me on things. I hope you do on some. Like, have your own mind. I'm not your mind. You have your own mind, your own values. I will tell you what mine is on this. That's a life. No matter the circumstances. No matter the circumstances, that is a life. And I do not view extinguishing an innocent life as an option. I understand that that is totally unpopular. I understand that that probably doesn't sit well with you. You're welcome to email and yell at me about it. I don't care. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I'm never going to change. I believe that is a God-breathed life, and it should not be killed. In the case of, you know, something unbelievably horrible like rape, it's like the worst thing in the world. In that case, the baby didn't do it. Look, if you want to take the guy out, you have a public trial, and then throw him in the middle of the Pacific Ocean into a big vat of sharks, that's fine with me. I mean, you can skin him alive at the city gates for all I care after a trial, Chris. A trial first, after convicted. You do what you want with him. But the baby didn't do anything. That sin doesn't fall on the baby. Hello, Jesse. My husband and I listen to your show on a regular basis. Appreciate how you share common sense, so on and so forth. Right now, our part is helping the local GOP raise some money so we can keep getting information out and helping others learn what's going on. Would you help us by donating a signed copy of your book for our upcoming fundraising dinner silent auction on November 1st? Let us know if you'd help us out. Thanks for even considering it. Chris, can we get these people a book? Yeah, we can get them a book. After all. Well, where am I supposed to put it, Chris? I set it aside. What? I didn't put it in the trash pile. It was next to the trash pile. I was going to remember. Okay, where do you want me to put it so you can remember? All right, I'll put it on the chair. All right, can you just remember to send that woman a book or something? After all, she's asking for one of the greatest texts ever created. What, Chris? The Anti-Communist Manifesto, which can be found at jessekellybook.com. And for those of you who've been wanting me to write something new, I told you before, I'm not writing another book, so don't get your hopes up. I am, however, in the process of writing something that you will be able to have for free. I'm not selling something. Look, the Anti-Communist Manifesto, I can't give it to you. Oh, we'll get to give this lady one. I can't give that to you. You got to go buy it. I didn't publish it. You got to go buy it. Or read it. Or I guess you could borrow it from the public library. I would assume they have it. But the other thing that's coming, I'll probably be able to get that to you for free. Not probably. I'm going to. I'll figure out a way. Hillsdale gives us things for free. While you're waiting for that free thing, why don't you go take some free courses from Hillsdale College? When an institution like Hillsdale College is giving out more than 40 free online courses, that's the kind of thing you need to pounce on like Joy Behar at the Krispy Kreme shop. Hillsdale will teach you about capitalism for free, Constitution for free. They'll teach you about the Book of Genesis. They'll teach you, look, ancient history, Rome, Sparta. I would recommend you go find out what Hillsdale has to say about Sparta. Fascinating society. Not one I would have enjoyed living in, but fascinating society. And they give you all this at hillsdale.edu/Jesse. hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We are going to talk to John Conrad in a moment. and he's a merchant marine captain. What is it like fighting fires on a ship? Why does it matter to have Navy sailors in good shape? We'll talk next.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You'll love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And if we're playing the Village People on the show, that can only mean that my friend Captain John Conrad refused to pick a walk-up song, which means we get the worst thing we can find on short notice. Anyway, Captain, I bet you won't make that mistake again.
The worst thing that you can find, that's the best thing you could possibly find. And that and YMCA, we're talking Trump music right now.
All right. Obviously, a lot of hubbub has been made today about the Pete Hegseth speech. I wanted to talk specifically about this one, actually, because you have an area of expertise.
Any place where tried and true physical standards were altered, especially since 2015, when combat arms standards were changed to ensure females could qualify, must be returned to their original standard.
Captain, okay, I get why an Army Ranger, why a Marine has to be able to do pull-ups and run and hump some weight. That surely doesn't matter to things like the Navy, right?
Well, I thought I was going to get a lot of pushback from that. And to be clear, I'm merchant marine, so we deliver the ammo and the fuel to the Navy. But that means our ships are old. They're decrepit. You've heard Trump talk about want to reinvigorate shipbuilding because our ships are ancient. And most of those cargo comes in on Chinese ships. Well, the side of that is I've been in major ship fires. I've had engine room fires, battery room fires. I've had massive leaks. And the Navy really hasn't, because their ships are in excellent condition, other than a few collisions like the Fitzgerald. They haven't really worked those muscles of a major, you know, World War II salvage where they get hit by a torpedo. But I'm here to tell you, man, I got 8 varsity letters at track in high school. I roomed with a Navy SEAL. I'm a big outdoors hiker. I do a lot of rucking, and I have more than one of these emergencies on ship, because Go outside, fill up a bucket full of water. Water is heavy. And whether that water is pouring through a pipe and you got to close a watertight door or get a seal over that or just turn a wrench against it because there's flooding, or there's a fire and you got to lug those massive fire hoses up 6 flights of stairs and around a watertight door. And when I first fought my first fire, there were a couple guys on our team who were they were the best trained. I trained them well, and 2 of those guys, you know, were 5 foot something, not very big guys. And I remember, you know, right when that fire broke out, I'm like, you guys get out of firefighting gear, and I pointed to the 2 largest guys, and you get in gear. And during the debriefing later, they asked me, why did you do that? And I didn't even remember I had. It wasn't even something conscious. It was just, we had to move this massive cargo and these batteries away from the fire, and it was just instinctual. You need big guys in order to do that, and if we had casualties, you'll have to get someone who can drag those big guys out of the fire.
Speaking with Captain John Conrad, U.S. Merchant Marine Captain, I have spoken many times on the show, because I'm a history freak, about World War II, World War II battles, and touched on, what it's like when a ship is on fire and how intense it is and how dangerous of a situation it is. Only I have never lived it. You have lived it. What is it about fire? You're on the water. What's the big deal?
The big deal is you can't call 911. People think even if you get a medic aid, you know, they see the Coast Guard going out in the helicopter and lifting people off ships. Those helicopters only have a 200-mile range. It's 5,000 miles to China. And if you're on the enemy side, you're not getting that help. So you're on their own. There's no police department. There's no fire department. Everything has to be done. So if you don't have the intelligence, if you don't have the skills, if you don't have the tools on board, and if you don't have the strength to fight these fires, you're in trouble. The other thing is, because you can't get that aid. See, if a soldier gets in a firefight, right, What's he going to do? He's going to call in backup. They're going to send in another unit. They're going to get the Rangers. They're going to bring in the Navy SEALs. It may take a little bit of time, but they're going to add resources to that problem until the enemy's overwhelmed. On a ship, you can't bring in those resources. What you have is what you got. And the sad truth is the Navy hasn't fought a real sea battle since World War II. My favorite thing of the whole speech was actually Trump. When Trump went in there and said, I think I want to bring back battleships. The admirals tell me we can't, but I think a big battleship with armor is just the thing we're reading there right now. And you could see the admirals like, no, you can't do that. Well, why can't we? They think with these modern, they have such a set of rules that have been established over the last 40 years of what can, you know, carriers are supreme. We can have, you know, women on ships. We can have this on ships. We can do things, you know, when the Fitzgerald collided, they had to drift into cell phone range to do a mayday because they didn't know how to set up an emergency antenna. So they have very strict rules, and we're the best in the world. I don't want to discredit them. I mean, we are the best in the world by far at what we do. But some things like massive casualty events and a fire have not been tested since World War II. So whatever you think is in the rule book has to be revisited. And I loved how Trump just, even if we don't build battleships, just breaks that paradigm. What he was telling the Navy admirals is, whatever you think you know about combat is not true. We need to reassess every single piece of this. And I think one piece of that is the physical standards of the sailors who, quite frankly, 99.9% of the time, you can be a little overweight. You don't have to be in the best shape to be on the ship. But if we go into battle, you better believe I want strong men there to be able to handle that.
Again, speaking with Captain John Conrad, I know you have a love for battleships. I frankly adore them. Why do you want to bring them back?
Well, part of it is just, like I said, break the paradigm in the admirals. They don't think it know as much as they think they know. They've been stuck on this DEI track for so long, they start believing their own nonsense. And, you know, that everything's joint now. So on all these ships, you'll have NATO officers in billets. You walk around the Pentagon, there are NATO officers all around. Well, those officers, their governments are telling them, cut back on Navy spending. Let's spend it on Army tanks instead, because Army tanks are cheap. Nobody wants to build the warships. So you have this whole NATO and UN apparatus infused in our rank that is pulling us away from big Navy spending to Army spending because it benefits them. I don't care about them. I want what benefits us. And if you look in the Red Sea right now, you know, nothing else is working. The carrier air groups aren't working to protect logistics ships. You know, we got to get those munitions, the Army weapons over there. We can't fly them. We don't have enough planes. So we got to get them. It means you need to protect ships. Well, the Marines can't. The Army can't protect ships. The Air Force can't protect ships. Not even the submarines. A lot of people say, and Trump said, our submarines are the one thing we are three times better than the Chinese Navy about. That is true, but a submarine can't protect a merchant ship, cargo ship, from drones. The one thing that can is these destroyers. They're doing phenomenal work in the Red Sea. But the problem is they run out of fuel because they're not nuclear, and they run out of missiles quickly. Well, what is a battleship? A battleship is a bigger destroyer. So a bigger hull means more missiles, more fuel, and you're able to put more sensors on to defeat some of these new systems. And the battleship has, as Trump said, it's not aluminum like our ships, where a missile, if it gets through the defenses, will just rip a hole right through. It's got thick steel. You know, what's old is new again. And I think these modern missiles, even the hypersonics that China has, they're not designed. These drones certainly aren't, to penetrate through 16 inches of steel like the battleship has. So I don't want to overcomplicate it, but that's the bottom line. They're a bigger destroyer with armor.
I think you explained it quite well. Captain, thank you so much. I appreciate you. That's exactly the education we needed. Thank you. Sharp guy. I wonder if captains still bring their dogs on the ship. You know that's happened. What, Chris? You know the captains today probably bring rough greens too. Especially if you're on a battleship, because you have room, right? There's no reason if you're bringing your dog on a ship for your dog to only eat garbage dog food, because that dog food is dead. All dog food is dead. There's no nutrition in it. None. It's dead. Your dog eats empty calories. It's equivalent to you eating a double cheeseburger from McDonald's every single meal. How would your health be? How long would you live? Let Rough Greens change your dog's health and help your dog live longer. It's the number one dog supplement in America, packed full of live nutrients. Everything your dog needs to live healthier, less scratching, better digestion, more energy. RoughGreens.com. Use the promo code Jesse. That gets you a free jumpstart trial bag. Or call 214-ROUGH-DOG. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Tuesday. We'll be back tomorrow. You can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Bronco, I second the idea of you doing a history lesson on Rhodesia, especially the Selouse Scouts. I'm sure it would be great. So in the name of a just, merciful God, please do it.
In the name of a just, merciful God.
I'm going to. Stop nagging me. I have to do the Siege of Malta first. I've already made my call, and I'm already chopping away at the Siege of Malta. I'm going to get you your next history thing. So the Samsung Galaxy Ring is in the news because some dude's finger swelled, and it started to crush it. It was all a bad thing. But I've been made aware for a while of these devices you can attach to your body. They give you health updates, that there are rings and watches and things like that. And why do you want that? Do you want to walk around with a wife on your wrist nagging at you at all times? I just don't understand the appeal. Why would I want a ring that nags at me about my blood pressure or something else? Leave me alone. I just completely don't get it. Jesse, about your segment on guys meeting girls, I have some experience to share. By the way, I was talking about how men and women need to, I'm not trying to be grandpa, not saying put down the phone, but you got to put down the phone at some point in time, go out in the wild and physically interact with the opposite sex. It's important, even rejection, it's important. Jesse, I learned not to take it personally because women can be moody. Yeah, buddy, just lead with that. It may not reflect on the asker so much as the mood of the female. It took me a while to come to terms with this. I just learned to go and ask for a dance anyway. I hope this helps. Look, hey, the only way to hit home runs is to swing, right? Get out there and start swinging. Fellas, and I'll just give you this little bit of advice. It served me well in my younger single Jesse years. The worst you can say is no. Every time you look across the room and you see some dime with some goober, you know the difference between you and him is? He asked. He had the guts to get up there and ask. Fortune favors the bold. Trump gives Hamas 3 to 4 days to accept his Gaza peace deal or meet a very sad end. Well, I don't think the end is going to end well for them no matter what. From my understanding, the Israelis own 80% of the territory now. They've taken control of 80% of the territory, meaning Hamas is running out of places to hide. You're running out of territory. And if you're running out of territory like that, you're most definitely running out of young men. And look, you can only look at these things from a logical point of view. You can't put your mind in the mind of a jihadi. If you're out of land and you're out of men, it's time to call it quits. You launched a raid that was a suicidal raid for your civilization. And the Israelis are very obviously quite intent on making sure you're never able to do it again. It was one of those, it was like the Japanese bombing Pearl Harbor in a much, much smaller scale. One of those things you look back on historically and you just want to go back and tell them, what were you thinking? How could you not see that coming? How could you not see that coming? But hate does that, and people go crazy. I'll never end it. You remember what I said at the time. It was a raid, a very large raid, very large, very violent, very public raid. Okay. You launched a raid like that against a far superior military power. What did you think they were going to do? How did you think that was going to go for you? It just blows my mind how dumb some people are. Speaking of which, let's talk about dumb New York voters who are about to vote for this guy.
And ultimately, it's through the conversations I've had with Jewish New Yorkers that I have developed a proposal for the Department of Community Safety that would include an 800% increase in funding for hate crime prevention programs. Because ultimately, we cannot simply say that anti-Semitism has no home in this city or no place in this country. We have to do more than talk about it. We have to tackle it. And that's what we will do through this funding and through this commitment. We will root out bigotry across the five boroughs.
You know where that money's going to go, right? They're all just there to loot the treasury. Every single dime of that money is going to go to his political allies. This is how communists operate.
And now,
here's a headline.
You know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Dog owner accused of holding driver at gunpoint and forcing him to dig grave after hitting dog with a car. I get it. Rosie O'Donnell admits even her therapist can't explain her Trump derangement syndrome. Of course she has a therapist, and of course you spend enough time walking down that communist path, you end up miserable and crazy. Italy's Navy to quit Gaza flotilla as a risk of Israeli attack looms. Oh, Italy's Navy is quitting something. What a shock. Chinese flag to be raised over Philadelphia City Hall to celebrate the anniversary of the Chinese Communist Party. It's funny, there are still people who exist in this country who yell at me for calling them communists when they basically shout all the time that they are very much communists. Ireland to offer migrant families $10,000 to drop asylum claims and leave. Parts of the West are so neutered, they're now bribing invaders to get out instead of throwing handcuffs on them and chucking them out of the place. I will see you tomorrow. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.